Coronation Street star Rula Lenska is coming to New Zealand to star in the stage version of the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Rula plays Madge Hardcastle, who leaves a dreary life in England to find a rich husband at a hotel in India. Older Brits live there in their twilight years, having removed themselves as inconveniences to indifferent families. The old sad story, except the play isn't sad. At the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, their lives will change forever. Rula Lenska is descended from Polish royalty and became known in the TV show Rock Follies. She became better known when she starred in an ad for shampoo, which was shown in the US.
I'm Rula Lenska. As an actress, I always have to look my best. So I'm glad that I found a truly great hairspray from America.
And the legendary late-night talk host Johnny Carson said on his show, "Who the hell is Rula Lenska?" And that became a running joke, and Saturday Night Live also had fun with it. Meanwhile, out of sight of Americans, Rula started appearing in top TV shows like Minder, where she met her husband Dennis Waterman, Footballers' Wives, To the Manor Born, Doctor Who, and EastEnders, Celebrity Big Brother in more recent times, and a lot of West End stage productions in London. Acting isn't all she does. Rula, lovely to talk to you.
Lovely to talk to you as well. Greetings from a chilly, winterish evening in London.
How long since you've been down here?
Would you believe 1984, which sounds like nearly is centuries ago. But I fell in love with your country, and I'm so incredibly excited about coming back to see you all again.
Yeah, you toured with Dennis Waterman back then, didn't you? The two of you.
I was, yes, in 94 with a play called Same Time Next Year.
Yeah. You could legitimately call yourself a countess if you wanted to still. You went on the show DNA Journey on ITV, didn't you?
With Maureen Lipman, who is now, of course, starring also in Coronation Street. Yes, I did. My parents both came independently from very high aristocratic backgrounds. And the Second World War obviously got rid of everything that both families had to their names, like land estates and woodlands and hectares of earth and farms and vodka factories and everything you could possibly think of. And me being the firstborn of a couple who were a count and countess in their first right makes me a countess, although I don't use the title, obviously, because I don't have anything to prove.
No, but it's a handy title to be able to mention at a dinner party.
You have to admit, Countess Rula Lenska sounds like a stripper.
Dunno. I think it rolls off the tongue in a kind of high-class way. But whatever you say. Your family had a castle even once, I think.
Oh, more than one.
Right.
And thousands of hectares of land and beautiful country estates and stud farms and you name it. You know, they came from a very privileged and very high-born background, but of course all of that was lost in the war.
War changes everything, doesn't it? Your Aunt Maria, actually, just by the by, was a heroine, wasn't she, in the Warsaw Ghetto during the war?
She was. She was instrumental in taking ill children in and out of the Warsaw Ghetto during the Second World War to see doctors and specialists outside of the areas where they couldn't get medical attention.
Gee, what a story she could have told. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
In fact, I do a sort of one-woman show about my mother's memoirs, which, if there's enough interest, I might even consider doing when I'm over there.
Okay. You'll be spending a lot of time in New Zealand. What are you looking forward to most? Because it's changed a bit, of course, since you've been.
Well, I presume things have changed a lot since 1984, but the highlights of my trip then, apart from performing the show, which was a huge success and we loved doing it, But I remember Rotorua in particular,
yep,
and Tarawera, and the stud farms in Wellington. And probably the most exciting of all was whale watching off the Kaikoura coast.
Ah, you did that back then. Yes, okay. So you got around a bit.
And hopefully I will be able to renew some of those experiences.
Yes. Yeah, and I can imagine that'll be exciting. The best exotic hotel, best exotic marigold hotel, when you get to it in the play, isn't in Great Nick, is it? You were better off with Ken Barlow at the Stillwaters Retirement Complex, if only he had realised.
Yes, that didn't quite work out. I mean, initially it looked like I was going to be able to persuade him to retire in great comfort in this retirement complex, but he decided he had to be back in Coronation Street. The real exotic marigold hotel is nothing like that. It is about a group of older people, well, old people, I suppose, not older people, who decide they're going to have one last crack at happiness, whether it's because they lost their partners or because they're just looking for new adventures or whatever. But it is a story about hope for older people, and that is something which really strikes audiences from the 6 months that I've done here on tour. That's what people come away from the show with.
Yes, Madge in the Marigold Hotel is indomitable, isn't she? But I suppose there the similarities end in terms of relatability to your life. But so deep down, you know, the joyous or sad question, people seem to have found it magical, don't they?
Yes, there's an element of, well, apart from the word hope, which is certainly probably the most important message in the play, is that it's never a time that is too late or too far gone. You always have to grasp the moment. And this is what happens in the show. People come over from the UK looking for a comfortable, maybe romantic, but whatever, good adventure for the last trimester of their lives. And although the people in the show don't know each other at all, but the play is about the integration of those characters plus the integration of the Indian contingent who own the hotel and who are peripheral to the story of the hotel in India. So it's a wonderful meeting of two different cultures and a wonderful meeting of six or seven completely different people, male and female, from what they've experienced in the UK.
It's curious how people love the idea of adventurous older people looking at the bright side of life, but in the real world, many of them get lonelier and lonelier. I suppose the lesson, Rula, is get out and find your own joy if you can. Is that part of it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Completely agree with you. I mean, I am an adventurer by nature, and I've adventured all my life. I've traveled extensively, and nothing makes my heart and my soul burn like the discovery of new places and new peoples and new cultures. And that doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. It's your attitude. It's not your age.
Yeah. That's a lovely philosophy to live by. Last year, a few other things before we get back to the Marigold Hotel. Last year you came out and said acting on Coronation Street is badly paid. What does badly paid mean?
Oh dear, I should never have said that.
No.
Well, you know, it is the hugest and most successful and deservedly so soap opera in this country and in several other countries in the world, including New Zealand. It's very hard work, and it's not brilliantly paid. I didn't mean that in any detrimental way. It's just that nowadays things have changed. And most people in my profession, or certainly most people of my age in the profession, would give their eye teeth to do a stint in Coronation Street because it's incredibly well written. The stories are totally compelling, and the characters are brilliant. No, it's true. It isn't well paid. But I'm not going to tell you how much or how not much we get paid. At a certain time, one has to be more proactive, which I've always found pretty difficult because I've been so used to people ringing up and saying, "Would you be interested in doing this?" Or my agent saying, "Would you be interested?" And now one has to look at other stuff for oneself. If I didn't have some sort of work connected with creativity and performance, I would become very down.
Yeah, a lot of people, I'm sure, know that feeling. But you have a lot of innate advantages. Well, your pedigree
Do
and.
and I do a lot of charity work and particularly with conservation.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the charity work. Your flame-coloured hair is always a thing of wonder. Do you really cut it yourself?
I'm lucky in that I've got an enormous amount of hair, as have all the members of my family. I look after it, but not in any specifically strange way. I brush about 100 times a night, which is a very old-fashioned way of making sure that the natural oils in the hair are distributed throughout. Of course, now I've started colouring it a little bit just to enhance the redness. But apart from that, no, I'm just lucky.
Early on, you've had such an interesting life. You've been rich and you've been poor, or at least you've been well off and poor. Early on in your adult life, before acting, I was reading you had a job at Heinz, and on Fridays, on Fridays they let you take home what?
Oh, that's a funny thing to remember. Yes, there used to be a warehouse with all the Heinz 57 foods in tin cans, but none of them had any labels. So you were allowed per week, I think it was 20 cans, but you didn't know whether it was baked beans or sausages or baby food or tomato soup or whatever. So we had at home then, I was still living with my mother, shed loads of tins. No idea what was in them until you opened them up.
I know, I read that and I thought, why couldn't they have waited till the cans had labels on and give them to are you a Buddhist now? Are you a Buddhist? What sort of a Buddhist are you?
The Japanese Buddhism, Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, Nichiren-dan Shonin. So we chant for the happiness and peace of all sentient beings, and that is the core belief of the philosophy.
Speaking of mantras and chants, your mother used to say, "Don't expect and you won't be disappointed," I think. I read that.
You have done your research, haven't you?
It's not a bad attitude to have, if you can be optimistic with it. And I presume you've kept that through
No,
your
but
life.
don't expect and you won't be disappointed is a very broad concept, but I think it's very, very potent, whether it's work, whether it's love, whether it's lifestyle, whether it's parenting, whether it's whatever. I probably now, I consider myself as an older person. I don't like to use the word old, but I am. I can't get away from that, from the numbers. But I am at peace with who I am. I am very grateful to have got this far.
The best exotic Marigold Hotel looks at the world then in a determinedly optimistic way. When you look at the world, and I know you do the same, obviously, but what do you think of the state of it right now, though?
It's horrendous. And you wonder, when is anything ever going to learn? I mean, it's almost after what we went through in the Second World War, and I know because my mother had a horrendous experience after leaving Poland in 1939 throughout the 8 years that it took for her to come over here as a refugee, that people don't learn. And it's all to do with man's greed and man's desperation to control.
Yeah.
And that covers wildlife as well, animals.
I was going to ask you about animals. Yes, no, well said. And we don't ever learn, that's right. I was going to about ask you about animals because you have a particular fondness for them. I think especially those in captivity, yeah?
No, I have a huge love for all animals, but most of my experience has been with elephants.
Right.
And I was first introduced into elephants voicing a program about a woman called Daphne Sheldrick, Dame Daphne Sheldrick, who's sadly no longer with us. But she ran, and her family still runs, an elephant orphanage outside of Nairobi, where they bring up the baby elephants who've been either injured or abandoned or neglected. She has rewilded 317 elephants, which is an amazing amount. Elephants are terribly close to humans in their behavior, in their personality traits. They are mischievous, they are funny, they are dangerous, they are dedicated, and they never forget, which is absolutely true. I have now, I don't say this with any pride, but in 25, 30 years ago, I went on working expeditions on elephant back in India and Nepal, looking for wild elephants, tigers, rhinos, and sloth bears. And we worked with these trained female elephants on a regular daily basis for 3 weeks. Then I didn't know what it takes to break an elephant's spirit. An elephant is approximately 6 tons. So it's not like training a dog. But I naively believed that through love and reward and caring, you could make an elephant a domestic pet. It's not true. The way they break their spirit is horrendous, barbaric, disgusting. And I would never ride an elephant again. But in those days, that's how I learned about elephants and their extraordinary symbiotic relationship with their carers, the mahouts. Not the ones who'd broken their spirits, obviously, but the ones who'd been assigned to them since they'd become not domesticated, but able to be used for transport and for logging and for religious ceremonies in India and Nepal. And I was astounded by the depth of the relationship between some of the mahouts and the elephants who'd been together for 15, 16, 17 years. I mean, there was a real huge, deep love and affection between them. But now that I know what it takes to break them in, I would never do that again. Now I just go to elephant sanctuaries. Just recently been to one in Thailand, where the elephants are rescued from logging camps, from personal acquisition situations where they've been tortured, physically hurt, deprived, etc. Now they're allowed, as far as it's possible for them, to be back in a wild situation. And humans are only allowed to follow them from a distance. They're no longer allowed to ride them or bathe them or feed them or anything like that. Sorry, I'm rambling on.
No, that was lyrically described and really interesting, actually. So we are making progress as a species, but we also have an awful lot of progress to make, as you were talking about.
A lot.
Last thing, a line from the best exotic marigold hotel. We get up in the morning, we do our best, nothing else matters. Which I thought was interesting, I had to think about it. Is that true of you to any extent?
In me, in my real life?
Yeah.
I think we all have a responsibility, and if we all individually try to make things better in whatever small ways are available to each individual, then we can make a difference in the world.
Well, you have, and you've made a good amount of difference. So thank you for that. Thank you for all the moments.
Thank you.
All the moments you continue to give us on stage, screen, etc. Lovely to talk to you, Rula. I hope you really love New Zealand when you come back again.
Thank you.